This past week, in our journey through the New Testament 2012, we read Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, through Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. Today's message is going to focus on Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. So let's stand while God's word is being read. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. And this is what God's word says to us here this morning. Verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this word here before us. We thank you for this journey that we are on as a congregation reading this New Testament this year in 2012. Father, my prayer here this morning is that the words that we read here and those that we read throughout the week will just come alive and new to us here this morning, Lord. They will be fresh, and we will all walk away from here this morning learning something new, something that your Spirit has revealed to us. So we invite the Spirit to come and just have His way with our mind and our soul and our heart here this morning. We trust you that we will be changed, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So what was in our reading this past week? First, we read the conclusion of Jesus' powerful Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And that Sermon on the Mount ended in chapter 7 with the crowd being amazed because this man, Jesus, he spoke with authority and not like their teachers of the law. What else did we read? Well, we read that Jesus performs many healing miracles. He heals a man with leprosy. He heals a centurion's paralyzed servant. He heals Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever. He heals two demon-possessed men. He heals another paralytic. He heals a woman with a bleeding problem. He heals two blind men. He heals a demon-possessed mute. And one of his ultimate miracles that he did in our reading, he raises a dead girl back to life. In chapter 10, verse 35, it says that he went through all the towns and villages, healing every disease and sickness. And also in our reading this past week, Jesus had a few confrontations with the religious leaders. And he also had time to choose 12 disciples and then send them out two by two on their first evangelistic excursion. So, who is this man? Who is this guy? Who is this Jesus? What I want us all to do here this morning is this. Put yourself in that time and in that place. And maybe you've seen Jesus walking around. Or maybe you're the one following him. Or maybe you're the one that's with him there when he heals and talks to the centurion. But certain things are going through your mind. If you were a person in that place and time, isn't he Joseph and Mary's son? Isn't he that boy from Nazareth that has, and look at him now, he's all grown up. You know, he manages to draw large crowds of people that seem to want to hear what this man has to say. He has a small, dedicated following of about 12 guys who just seem to follow him everywhere. He appears to know a lot about the Mosaic law, but yet for some reason he seems to be at odds with the religious leaders. He doesn't mind eating with sinners and tax collectors. He even touches unclean lepers. And he even speaks with women. Oh, and did I say that this Jesus can perform miracles too? Who is this Jesus? There's one important fact that we need to establish up front to help us answer that question here this morning. Who is this Jesus? And for that, I want to go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. That wasn't in our reading this morning, but I'm going to read that right now. Verse 17, Matthew 8, says this. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Our first fill-in-the-blank in the bulletin this morning would say this. Jesus fulfilled messianic prophecy by performing miracles. By performing miracles. The Old Testament prophecy told us in detail some of the attributes about the coming Messiah. If you were a Jew, you knew that there was going to be a Messiah who was going to come on the scene at some point in time. You just didn't know when or who that Messiah would be. But you did know this. You knew this about Old Testament prophecy, that he would take up their infirmities. Take up their infirmities. I'm going to read a little portion out of Isaiah chapter 35, which is some more messianic prophecy. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 6 says this about the coming Messiah. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Prophecy about the Messiah. The Messiah, they knew, would be one who would heal. The blind would see, and the deaf would hear, and the lame would be able to walk, and the mute shall speak. So who is this Jesus? If you're a person at that place and at that time, maybe you're thinking this, I wonder if he just might be the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one. For the remainder of our time this morning, we're going to focus on the scripture that I read here this morning about the Roman centurion. The Roman centurion. What do we know from history about a Roman centurion that might make an impact on our question at hand here this morning? Well, according to Jews, if you were a Jew at that point in time, A Roman centurion would have three strikes against him. Let me give you three reasons why the Jews would not have liked this man. Actually, probably more like three reasons they would have hated this man. These will be the next three fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin. Reason number one, if you are a Jew, you do not like this man. Why? Because the Roman army oppressed the Jews. The Roman army oppressed the Jews. You see, Rome was the dominant power in the world at that time, and they had a presence in Israel. They pretty much had sovereign rule to do what they wanted as they pleased. They could do this, they could do that, they could do this. They could tax at will. They could pretty much do what they wanted. And that presence of the Roman army was oppressive to the Jews at that time. So if you were a Jew, you did not like this man because what he represented was oppressive to you and your people. The second reason you would not like this man, he is a Gentile. He is a Gentile. We do know this. After all, a Jew would not be a Roman centurion. This man was a Gentile. And we know what the Jews thought about Gentiles. It went far beyond disliking them. They hated Gentiles. If you were a Jew, either the other person next to you was either a Jew just like you, or they were nothing. They were nothing. Remember what David said about Goliath when he went to slay him? He's just an uncircumcised Philistine, what David called Goliath. That's pretty much what the Jews thought about Gentiles. They were just uncircumcised nothings. So either you were a Jew like me, or you were nothing. And this man was a Gentile. He was nothing to them. Our third fill in the blank. He is most likely a Samaritan. He is most likely a Samaritan. Let me explain why. History tells us that not all the Roman soldiers in any particular area were from Rome. Rome would quite often go into local territories and find people within that territory that were not part of that culture, not part of who those people were. So what they did, they would go into the territory that we know as Israel, and they would find people who were not Jewish, not Israelites. And then they would train them to be Roman soldiers. And if there was any men from this area who were put into a position as a Roman soldier, more than likely they would be Samaritans. It's bad enough that the Jews did not like Gentiles, but they really despised Samaritans. Because you see, Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half-breeds. They were a person who decided to go and intermarry with a Gentile. And then you were the child of that marriage, either a Gentile father, a Jewish mother, or a Gentile mother and a Jewish father. The product of that marriage would be a Samaritan. And the Samaritans kind of lived together. And if you were a Jew, that was a no-no. You didn't do that. You did not marry outside the Jewish community. That was a slap in the face. Either you stay within the Jewish community or you went far away. Jews did not like Samaritans. So here in this story comes a Roman centurion, a man who is hated by the Jews for three reasons. They oppressed their people, and he was a Gentile. And he was probably a Samaritan. And this man comes up to Jesus and he asks for a miracle. And just picture for a second that you're one of the disciples or you're one of those followers and you're right there with them. Can you feel the tension starting to rise? You're a Jew, and you're a dedicated Jew. Not only is tension starting to rise, but your blood is beginning to boil. A hated Gentile Roman soldier is speaking with this guy that I'm following? Maybe I'm not following the right person here. Who is this Jesus anyways? And remember too that this is early in Jesus' ministry. The disciples haven't been around this man long. And if you're one of the disciples or one of the followers of Jesus and you've been following him for some short amount of time, you're probably thinking this. You know, it's okay for Jesus to speak a great message on the mountain and draw large crowds. And it's okay for Jesus to go around healing the sick and the lame, as long as the sick and the lame were Jewish people. But now, he's speaking to a Roman centurion? Who is this Jesus? But I believe that, that in our story here this morning that we read, there is one person who did know the answer to that question. And I believe that one person who knew the answer to who is this Jesus was the Roman centurion. You see, early on in the story, he explains to Jesus, he says this, "Here's my case, Jesus. I have a servant who is paralyzed and he's suffering. And I would really like for you to go and heal him." Now what you have here is this. You have a Roman centurion who has quite the confidence, quite the faith that Jesus can do this. And on the other hand, you have a group of disciples who were following him, and they're probably thinking this to themselves. I can't believe Jesus is even talking to this guy. This isn't good Jewish protocol. And then Jesus says this, "I'll go. I'll go to your house and heal your servant." Now that really makes you question and wonder, who is this guy? But in so many words, the Roman centurion replies, "Jesus, that can't happen." He says, "I'm not worthy of you, Jesus, to enter my house." Maybe, just maybe, this Roman centurion might know just a little bit about the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law said this, if you were a Jew, you didn't go in to a Gentile home. It's that simple. You would become defiled, ceremonially unclean. But then the centurion speaks these amazing words. "You don't have to enter my house, Jesus. I'm not worthy of that. But you just have to say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." If you were a disciple following Jesus up until this point, what have you seen? Sure, you've seen great crowds. You've heard probably some good messages from Jesus. And you've seen quite a few miracles. But probably, and most likely, the miracles that you have seen have always been hands-on. You've seen Jesus touch somebody and the person got healed. Or Jesus has been in proximity of that person and that person got healed. He at least touches the person or gets close to them. But this, just say the word, Jesus, and my servant, who lives who knows how far away, will be healed. What faith! What faith! In other words, the centurion is saying this, Jesus, I might not know a whole lot. I might not have every I dotted, and I might not have every T crossed, and I might not know a whole lot about your Jewish theology, but I know this. I know you can heal my servant. And all you have to do, Jesus, is say the word. It sounds like this guy has Jesus figured out. It's almost as if he's saying, I don't know what you are all about, but I do know what you're capable of. And I know this, and this is as far as my faith can go. I know that you don't even have to go to my house, Jesus. You just say the word. Because he says in those verses, you know, I am a man under authority too. And I know what that's like, Jesus. And I know what it's like to have authority over another man. You see, this man was a centurion. And that meant that he had authority over 100 men. And he knew what it was like to be an authority. And he said that because I believe that he knew that Jesus was a man who also had great authority. He might not have understood completely, but I believe this man indeed knew the answer to our question this morning. Who is this Jesus? The story ends with Jesus commending the centurion for his great faith. He turns around and looks at his disciples. And I can almost picture it now. He's talking with the centurion here in front of him. And his disciples are behind him trying to figure out, why is Jesus even talking to this guy? And then Jesus turns around and says this to the people following him. I tell you the truth, I haven't found anyone in Israel with as great a faith as this guy. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, hey, listen up, you people. You're supposed to get it. And you don't. But this guy, he's a Gentile. He's a Samaritan. And you hate him. And he understands. In our reading this week, everything that we read from Matthew 6:19 all the way through 10:21, it seems like the ones who should not know who Jesus is, they do. And it seems like the ones who should know who Jesus is, do not. It's rather remarkable that later on in chapter 8, the disciples are out in a boat with Jesus, and a severe storm arises. And they become frightened, and they think they are going to drown. Did they forget who was in the boat with them? Perhaps their next time out on the water, they need to invite the Roman centurion, because he seems to be the one who gets it. So, who is this Jesus? How do you answer that question? I believe that the Roman centurion, he had and he knew the right answer. Do you? Let's go to God in prayer.